Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We begin a new sermon series based on the Gospel of Matthew. Today, the readings are taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 32 to 34 and 39 to 40, and from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, and our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, sets the challenge of purposeful discipleship.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 32 to 34 and 39 to 40. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created human beings on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened, or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have, and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation, by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds, like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from the very end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So for the foreseeable future, which most probably will lead us up to Easter, we're going to use the Gospel of Matthew. In the Church of England, the traditional way of doing services is to go through the liturgical calendar and you do the reading. So I've kind of tweaked things around, but we're going to kind of use the liturgical calendar of the Church of England, Ordinary Time, Advent and Christmas, and the Epiphany, and then leading up to Easter, using the Gospel of Matthew. Now, it's interesting that I decided to start with the end. Normally, if you say, well, if this is an introduction, start with the beginning, start with chapter 1. So why do you start with the end, chapter 28, and the last few verses? I was very taken aback by a thought during my trip to Burundi, because I did a course called Rooted in Jesus. That's what we trained people in Burundi to do. And it's based on two passages, Matthew 28, go and make disciples, and also in 2 Timothy, where it says, "And what you've learned from me, teach to others faithful who will learn to others." This idea of making disciples who will be making disciples. But Alison, who was our team leader, introduced that Matthew 28 as follows. He says, when someone is at the end of their life and they have those final words. Those are precious words. Those are words you want to hear, you want to treasure. And those were Jesus' final words to his disciples, and the disciples representing all of us following Jesus. So they are very precious, and Matthew strategically puts those final words there to help us understand the whole of his gospel. Because at the start, he clearly says, I'm writing these gospels because I want you to experience and understand that Jesus is the Messiah. That's what we have in Matthew 1:1. I'm just going to quickly have a look there. So Matthew says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's his purpose. He wants his audience to understand who Jesus is. And because Jesus is found out to be truly the Messiah, he is now the one who is sending us to all the world to make disciples. So the Gospel of Matthew, why do we say Gospel of Matthew? Well, because very early in the church fathers and among the church, the author was Matthew, identified as Matthew the tax collector. We have that in Matthew 9, verse 9 and 10, verse 3. Probably he was stationed on a main road, route to Capernaum, and it was a trading route. And you might know that tax collectors were not very liked, very well-liked people. They usually worked not just for the Romans, which was bad enough, but they worked for themselves, in the sense that they would take quite a lot of money and usually get quite rich from that type of work. So Matthew is the one identified as the person who wrote this gospel. And that was quite widely accepted in early church. What also was quite widely accepted still today is that Matthew wrote from a Jewish perspective. And that's why in this gospel you have so much allusion to the Old Testament. And often without really explaining what it is about. In a sense, he was... He knew that by saying those things, people would understand because they would be themselves from a Jewish background. And so, if we look throughout the Gospel, it looks like Matthew wrote to Christian from Jewish background who had become Christian, but who might still be part of the local synagogue. At the beginning, that was what would happen. Or who might have now been in a different place, kind of a new synagogue, a Christian synagogue, and there were tensions with others. And so it was very important that they would understand their identity, that their identity was based on Jesus, for them, the Messiah, the one they were waiting for, and that they were moving away from that old covenant of Moses and the Torah, and they were basing now their lives on the teaching and on following Jesus. And so, at the end, Jesus says, now that you understood who I am and what I'm about and what I have done for you, go and tell others, make disciples. And that word disciples is in Greek, mathetes, and it's more about learning from a master by doing the type of things he was doing than learning in a classroom environment. It's more about a living relationship where we discover who Jesus is and what he does in our world and we follow him than cramming all kind of information in our heads. And so throughout the gospel we see that Jesus teaches that faith is a matter of changed hearts. And it finds an expression in changed behavior. It does something to us. When we hear the word of God, it transforms us. And thank you for reminding us that that transformation is different. We are at different stages in that tale of Narnia. Some might see Jesus much better, and some might still be a bit confused. But we are all on that journey of being changed from the inside out. Jesus was the one who was making friends with the excluded, with those who were regarded as sinners in his time. Jesus had a ministry that was characterized by compassion and healing. John would say he was full of grace and truth. He wasn't compromising truth, but he was full of grace, like a good shepherd who knows his sheep, who tends and cares and wants them to grow and change. People found forgiveness, healing, reconciliation, and they became part of that new community, the people of God. Jesus wasn't shy of saying, it will be hard. You'll have hostility, opposition, suffering. But do not be discouraged, because God will be with you. I will be with you. I will be your guide. I will strengthen you. True discipleship was this new way of thinking and behaving, valuing different things, and building a new community. And Jesus spent 3 years teaching a lot of people, but more importantly, he spent 3 years training 12 disciples. He who was the Son of God couldn't train everyone. He chose to concentrate his effort on 12 disciples. 12 apprentices, that's what methodes means, 12 apprentices. In her book, so my team leader was Alison Morgan, and she wrote a lot of books. It was a great privilege to be with her, a well-knowledge person. And she wrote this book, Following Jesus, the plural of disciples, so a disciple is one, I'm a disciple, the plural of disciple is church. What a wonderful sentence. Disciples together form church, a place of people who wants to follow Jesus, who wants to follow Jesus. And so here we are in chapter 28. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always at the very end of age." So first we have Jesus, and here it says Jesus is asking them to go, and they meet him on the mountain. And that idea of mountain is quite central in Matthew chapter 5 to 7 is all about the Sermon on the Mount. And a lot have compared that Matthew presents Jesus as this new Moses, giving to the people of God new instructions about what it means to be his people. He's on the mountain, and here again, he's there on that mountain. And there are other interesting parallels, like Jesus' birth. Both Moses and Jesus, they're born in a hostile environment. Both sets of parents are forced to take extreme actions to save the life of that newborn. Both must leave Egypt to become instruments of God's salvation. So he's on the mountain telling his disciple his final words. And when they hear that and when they see him, it says they worshipped, but some doubted. What does this mean? Did they really doubt in the sense of disbelief? Maybe a better interpretation is that the experience of the resurrected Jesus and his last word was so overwhelming and mysterious that some were kind of refusing to believe, not refusing to believe, but they found it hard to take it in. It was just a little bit too much. They needed a term and time and time to digest. So it's not about this settled unbelief, but it's more about hesitation. And I like that. Despite the amazing witness that they have, they still hesitated. And that gives me hope as a disciple of Jesus, because we are all this mixture of faith and doubt. Hesitation, not being sure, of taking one step and sometimes taking two steps back. But the important is that we're moving forward. So maybe one step front and two step back is not a good thing, but let's say it's two step front and one step back. There we go. At least we're moving a little bit. Moving forward. Jesus takes us as we are. with our fears and joy. That's what we have at the resurrection on chapter 28. They worshipped, but then Jesus says, do not be afraid. So there must have been some kind of fear if he says that. And throughout the gospel, we see people that are just ordinary people with flaws. Peter, a great man of faith, a great man of flaws. But Jesus invested in those 12 flawed people. He made them disciples. So this morning, are you doing something maybe new? And you're not very sure. You think, I'm doing that because I feel Jesus is in it. And you do it out of faith. But it's not easy. And there might be some hesitation, some doubt. Persevere. Jesus is with you. Trust him. He says and he promised, I will always be with you. And so he moves to that amazing declaration. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And in this short passage, there is a lot of all. It's repeated. All authority, go to all nations, all things, always, all the time, I will be with you. If you remember, when Jesus was tempted, he was given the kingdom of the earth by the evil one. He was offered all the kingdom. But Jesus chose to do it God's way, not the evil way. And because he was faithful, he received from God all authority in heaven and on earth. I wonder how much we need to hold that in our time of uncertainties. All authority has been given to Jesus on earth and in heaven. It doesn't take away the worries that we have with the cost of living. And there is a great article again in the magazine from Dave. It doesn't take away the reality, our personal reality, but it gives us hope. Jesus is in control. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And because of that, because Jesus has all authority, he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. So here you have a picture of me in Burundi making disciples. I felt that they were making me better disciples when I saw their faith and their joy despite very, very hard circumstances. But you have the full picture, I can't see it, but there we go. So in the middle you have Alison, some of you have met her here. On her left you have Elijah, an amazing guy who lived for 16 years in refugee camp following when Uganda and the Hutu and the Tutsi, the genocide in about 20 years ago or more. He lived and is full of gratitude. I couldn't believe this man saw horror, and still he is a man of faith and gratitude. And then we had two other Africans coming from Congo, Boko and Minduli. And then you have me. I didn't realize that it's the first time I'm in a team and actually the taller person in the whole team. So it feels quite strange to be tall. I'm not particularly tall, but... So we were in Burundi. And we did a program called Rooted in Jesus, which is about making disciples who will be making disciples. Based on this, go and make disciples. People who will trust to learn, to trust and obey Jesus in their daily life, who will do the kind of things that Jesus did. And there are two problems often in our more Western context, is that the disciples is more about an apprentice. It's more about someone who goes alongside and learn to do things the way Jesus did. We are more accustomed, a kind of a model of a school or university where we sit and we receive lots of knowledge and it gets into our head, but often it doesn't really get into our hearts and it takes time to really sink in and to make sense. So discipleship is not really about classroom, although it's important to learn about theology and education. It's good and necessary, but it's not discipleship. Jesus taught his disciples in a kind of an apprenticeship type of way. They were following him. They were seeing what he was doing. And then he was sending them away to do the kind of things he did. So what does it mean for us to be that kind of disciple? Now, the second problem is that it takes time to make disciples. It took 3 years for Jesus to make 12, and then he lost one. So 11. 11 in 3 years. So how do we do that? Well, this rooted in Jesus, what they do is that they train people to a rooted in Jesus course, who will be then sent in their community to form a group, and they will then follow a first book, but also they will be praying that within the group they will discern potential new leaders, and they will also see that everyone in their group is a disciple. Everyone is someone called by God to with gifts and with a ministry, and so they will be praying and learning from this book. And at the end of 1 year, they will try to discern one or two new leaders so that they can go back to another conference with one or two who will be trained as the first conference. They will go to the second conference, and it will then start multiplying. A lot about is very practical because it's apprenticeship. So there's lots of demonstration. So I'm going to try that out with you. So I'm going to ask for two volunteers, my best volunteers. There we go. Richard, you come here. And Sue, you come there. There we go. So those are two amazing disciples. And Sue, you need to go on the other side. They're amazing disciples. And they know in their hearts that they are called to share their faith and to make new disciples, to teach them the kind of thing they've learned from God. So both of you, you're going to get a disciple. You're going to go and choose a disciple that you want to train and teach and encourage. There we go, you go. Here you go, one disciple. There you go, and you go on this side. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I've seen you somewhere before.
So there we go. So they form a little group. They talk, they're reading scripture, they're learning to be a disciple, learning about prayers, learning about the Holy Spirit, the gift, the meaning of the church, and all learning that. But the difference is that Richard is also... No, I'm going to do the opposite. She's going to do... Sue is not just teaching how to be a Christian, she's also teaching Cecilia to be a disciple. Cecilia, why is it Cecilia? There we go. 5 weeks away from the church and it's all gone pear shape. Cecilia, teaching Cecilia how to do also a disciple. You have taught Stan to be a disciple on his own. So you're very happy with your disciple, but he hasn't learned how to make a disciple. So now, the second year, you go and you get another person to do a disciple, but because you've learned how to make disciples, you both go and make a disciple. So you both have to go and get one, and you get someone.
Don't go for the husband, whatever you do.
There we go. So there we go. They continue to grow as disciples, to learn what it means. But there again, their way of doing is that they make sure that this new disciple knows how to make a new disciples. But you work very hard, you've made a new disciples, and you're going to add a new disciple now. Yeah, you're going, and but you all get one, because you have learned how to make disciples.
I'm not walking too far, am I?
Really? There we go.
Staying close to the
tree. So, now you see how it goes. Now in Africa, we kind of empty the church and you have this huge group there. And who do you think has worked the hardest? Who do you think Sue has worked the hardest? So, who do you think Richard has worked the hardest? Who do you think they worked as hard each other? They actually worked as hard. They really worked hard. They were faithful. Yes, maybe. The difference is that they had a different method. One was adding disciples, but not making them. The other one was multiplying disciples, making sure that the people they grow to make themselves disciples. And that's at the heart of that course. Disciples are people who learn to make new disciples. Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much. So here is a conference that we had in two places, Bohiga and Rutana, and that's the last one in Bohiga. And so what we did is that the diocese asked some delegates, mainly pastors, and as you might know, the Modest Union is huge in Africa and very dynamic and very alive. So there was lots of Modest Union people, catechists, which is a little bit like our readers, evangelists also, it's a bit similar to our readers, and then youth leaders. And we trained them for 4 days, giving them the material, helping them how to form a group. And they will now go for a year, forming a group, teaching about what it means to follow Jesus, to be a disciples. And hopefully in 1 year's time, some people in that group will be ready to become new leaders so that they can be trained and form another group. And so that's the idea of multiplication. And so we had the privilege to train in Bohiga 146 commissioned people, and in Rutana 99 commissioned, a mixture of pastors and catechists and youth leaders and lay leaders. It's just amazing what God is doing through that just simple method of learning to multiply, learning to make disciples, that we make disciples. That's what Jesus is calling his church. Go and make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. Maybe the last things I want to note as a last thought is, here is the last group, is that Jesus was always on the move. And the church should always be on the move, open to new ways. We should be changing inwardly, upwardly, and outwardly as we learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I'm very excited about, just before COVID, we met as a PCC and we discern, you know, what would be the heart of our mission? And we came up with encountering, growing, and participating. Encountering God, that's how it starts. You will baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how our Christian life starts. We encounter God's love and his forgiveness. Growing as followers of Jesus, that's what it means to be an apprentice, someone who follows Jesus, and participating in the life of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit guidance and strength. He is going to make it happen. So church shouldn't be static. It shouldn't be doing the same things for the sake of it, because we feel safe or because we have control over it. We should be open and take risk in God's grace. Jesus had ordinary disciples, and after 3 years, they were ready to be instruments of change. So let's commit ourselves to share Jesus around us, and to help others to grow as followers of Jesus, to make disciples who will in turn make disciples, to commit ourselves to the principle of multiplication, training, and entrusting others. Let us learn to be that model in our lives and in our circumstances. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.